If you take notes, I've entitled the message, Candy Coated. Candy Coated. I'm going to just look at really the very first beginnings of that verse, but for the sake of completion, we'll read the whole thing. Thus saith the Lord, all scripture is by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Before we look at this text, let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to give us wisdom and application for our lives. Father, as we open up your word, we know your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. So we pray, Lord, you might open up our hearts and our mind with the word, and let us learn something that we can apply to ourselves. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, to walk amongst us. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak directly through your people to me in any way that pleases you. Ask it for your glory and our good. And in Christ's name, amen. All scripture. Plenary. All scripture. Plenary means universal, all the way through. Every jot and every tittle, from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I dare say in most of the 21st century evangelical church, God's word is twisted, it's deceitfully handled, it's poisoned with error, it's replaced with tradition, it's refuted, and it's candy-coated. And I also think it's fair to say that even in the believing church today, candy-coating God's absolute truth is a common practice. I don't know why people do it, but they do it all the time. I think they do it because it takes the sting out of the truth. But you need to have that sting in absolute truth for it to be effective. Why is it done? Well, it's probably done for a variety of reasons. Number one, a lot of people don't like confrontations. When you tell the truth, especially about God, you're going to be confronted by a host of people who would disagree with you. And a lot of believing Christians don't like confrontations for that reason. Another reason is people don't like to offend others with God's absolute truth. You're going to offend people with God's truth. When you tell the truth, especially God's truth, when you tell God's truth, especially that, you're going to offend people. You're going to have confrontations. Now, another reason pastors do it is because they want to increase the membership. They want more people. They want to run a lot of people. And I would remind those pastors that you don't run people. You're a pastor. You lead them. And I would also remind them that the Bible says that if a man build a house without the Lord, he build it in vain. That means, simply put, that God brings him in and God takes him out. That is meat and potatoes simple. Whatever reason we have, the fact is, when we candy coat God's absolute truth, it no longer is the absolute truth. Instead, it's a watered-down version of the truth. And more importantly, in candy coating it, it loses its strength, its effectiveness, and its profitability. That's what happens when you candy coat anything in this book. Anything. Now, in looking at our text, we see that the intent of Scripture, this text tells us that the whole intent of Scripture is to make God's elect profitable. Every one of you sitting here that knows Christ as your Savior, God wants you to be profitable in this life. That's what he's talking about. Because if you're profitable in this life, you'll go home to glory profitable as well, with a wheelbarrow full of fruit. And looking at our text, we know that that's the intent of Scripture, rather, because the Bible isn't any benefit to God. This book doesn't help God at all. The only people it helps are you and I. God gets no benefit from this at all. I would also tell you that this Bible is of no use to the tares that Andrew was talking about. It's no use to heretics. It's no use to Christian cults, because they don't use it properly, and because they don't use it, well, they don't understand it, so that's why they don't use it properly. It's of no benefit and no profit to them whatsoever. Only the elect children of God can profit from God's holy word. Nobody else. With that in mind, let's look at our text. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. The term all scripture, what that means, it says, what it means what it says. Every single word of scripture is inspired. Now, I've heard people through my time of being a Christian saying, well, I believe what it says about this in the New Testament, but not so much about that. And I love it when people say that, because I can't help myself. I like to have fun with my faith. So when somebody says that to me, the first thing I do is say, ooh, wait a minute. I'm going to go get a pair of scissors, and I want to cut everything out of your book that's not inspired, because you don't need it. It's taking up space. You're reading stuff you don't need. Let's cut it out. Oh, no, don't cut it out. Why? You're not using it. Well, I might. Every word is inspired. Make no mistake about it. Because think of it this way. Why would God write something, and write the Old Testament and inspire all the prophets, and then write something in the New Testament just for the first church and nobody else? How could God write something that would ever be outdated? He wouldn't. He wouldn't. What does the Bible say? A house divided against itself will fall. So if God did that, this book wouldn't be worth anything. And God of this book would not be God. It's all inspired. I want you to look at the next section of the verse. Here Paul gives us the authority by which Scripture was written. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, I've heard a lot of colorful comments about what that means. Because you ask an unsaved person, specifically, who wrote the Bible, they'll say, amen. You say, good, you got that one right. Now, where did they get the information? How did they know that there was a heaven and a hell? How did they know that there was a devil? How did they know that stuff? How did they know mankind so intimately that there's none righteous, no, not one? How did they know all of that? And what author have you ever seen write that on their own? You see, in every book that's written, there's always a hero. Whether he's a good hero or a bad hero, man always writes about man coming on top. This book, the Bible, says man comes out on the bottom. He starts on the bottom and he stays there till God pulls him out of the pit. The term inspiration of God, that term is found nowhere else in Scripture, just here in 2 Timothy 3:16. And what it means is that God breathed inspiration into the people who wrote the Scriptures, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. They used their hands. He used their abilities. I'll give you an example of that. When I went to Bible college, I took 2 years of Koine Greek. And if you read the writings of Paul in the original Greek language, he's very precise in everything he says. If you read Peter, you can tell the guy's a fisherman, because the way he writes is a little more less formal than the way Paul wrote. So he allowed them to use that, but every word was inspired by him, and they wrote it as he gave it to them. And I have a proof for a verse for that. 2 Peter 1:21. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. Meat and potatoes. No prophecy. Old Testament or New Testament, none of it was produced by the will of man. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The word carried along refers to being inspired by the Holy Spirit. And John, chapter 14, verses 25 and 26 backs that up. These things have I spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, here it comes, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So the next time somebody tells you that God, that man wrote the Bible, say absolutely true. Now what's the second part? Where did he get all that knowledge? You point him to John 14, 25, 26. God gave it to him. After testifying about the inspiration of Scripture, the apostle gives us now the benefit of God's word. He declares that all of Scripture is profitable. What a wonderful word. All Scripture is profitable. That means there's not one thing in here that can't do you good. You know, I've often told you that I have a graduate degree in theology, biblical studies, and I can tell you that I purposely looked through each and every one of those books for something that wasn't good. There's a lot I didn't like at first, but there's nothing that's not good for you. Nothing. It's all good stuff. It's profitable. Now, I like the way Andrew defined his tear, the word tear. Definitions are very important. It gives us a good understanding. Well, I did the same thing with profitable, except I looked it up in Noah Webster's 1825 dictionary. I think it was 1825. It says it means rewarding, valuable, helpful, beneficial, and advantageous. That's what profitable means. But, and here's that but thing, that billy goat theology, but to be profitable, the word of God must be used and applied as it is written. That sounds simple enough. We all think that, right? We should just, hey, just tell it the way it is. Well, we don't. It's got to be applied and used as it's written. And by that I mean, when saying that, I mean you cannot, let me say it again, cannot candy coat Scripture just to get a brother or sister or somebody who's lost to swallow it. And that's exactly what candy coating is. People take this and they candy coat it with something. They tone it down. They take a little of the sting out of it. And they say, well, now you can swallow it because I gave it to you that way. No, you can't do that with God's word and expect it to be profitable, the outcome to be profitable. It must be used and applied as is written. Doing that, by candy coating any part of Scripture, let me tell you what you do. It creates a tear, an apostate, or a heretic. Because they go on candy coating it. Once you get a taste for candy coated Scripture, you can't get enough of it. Because then you can keep candy coating it to make it say what you want. That's exactly how liberal theology works. They candy coat it. They say, did God say? And that's candy coating at its very best. And it was first done by the devil, and it's used every Sunday. It's used every day. You can't candy coat Scripture and expect it to be profitable. All you'll do is create tares, apostates, or heretics. And there's no profit in that for them or for God. It's also true that you can't help a brother or sister with a problem if in doing that you candy coat Scripture. And the reason for that is because you can't candy coat any of God's words. It's when you do that, it's no longer the absolute truth. You have to understand something. An absolute truth means that it is perfect. It can't be changed. It's absolute. It's correct in every sense. And when you try to candy coat it, you change that. You change the chemistry. You change the spiritual chemistry of that when you change absolute truth by candy coating it. And what you turn it into, it's rather your version of the absolute truth. It's not the absolute truth. It's your version of it. For example, we're to take God at his word. John 14, 15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Now, I want to just tell you, I looked in all the translation and nowhere did I find that it says, well, you can keep my commandments only if you like them. It doesn't say that. Or you can keep my commandments when it's convenient. I know life is tough and things are inconvenient. You can keep my commandments when it's convenient. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say keep my commandments when you're up to it. You know, some days you're not spiritually up to keeping them. So, you know, I'm just going to hang out and do what I got to do and I'll repent later. It doesn't say that. You can't candy coat loving God or submitting to him. You can't say, Lord, you know, I love you, but you know what? Today I'm kind of busy. So I think I'm just gonna forgo our time together today and move on. It doesn't say that. So when somebody comes up to you and they're telling you, or you can see it, or you've heard about it, or you just confront them and you say to them, brother, sister, something's up. What's up? Well, I'm kind of down now. Okay. Why are you down? Well, I don't know. Well, you've been keeping God's commandments? You love them? Yeah. Well, doesn't that want to perk you up a little bit just doing that? You know, the Bible says, here it comes, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And what that simply means is you love him with everything. And it doesn't say only when you feel good. You can't candy coat it when you talk to a brother or sister. You can't do that. You have to tell them the truth. I can't tell you how many people have told me after counseling with me, you know, you offended me. I said, thank God I did. I'm glad I did. I hope that helps. And they look at me like I just walked off a spaceship. They never got it. That's the point. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be offended. You're supposed to say, ooh, I made a mistake. And you know, the wonderful thing about God is he doesn't, you know, when I made a mistake as a kid, you know, I might make one or two and get away with it. But if my mom was having a bad day, I didn't get away with it very often. Brian, go get a switch. I don't want to. Okay, well, you'll come home to eat someday. And when you do, I'm going to get you then. And she was right. So I went and got a switch. God's not like that. When you offend God as a believer, when you do something that offends God, or you're not doing something that you should be doing, God isn't going to take a switch to you. God's gonna give you a soft calling. He's going to knock on your door like this. And that's the Holy Spirit saying, come back. Come on back. You're wandering off that narrow path. Come on back. And he's long suffering, and he gives you a lot of time to come back. But you got to come back. And if you tell somebody, well, you know, he's long suffering, don't worry about it, don't believe him. That's candy coating the truth. The truth is, he'll let you go so far, then he'll bring you back in a way that you can't even believe. And there'll be pain. Maybe not even for yourself, but maybe for somebody that you love. There'll be something will happen in your life that will wake you up and say, whoa, I don't want to ever have to do that again. You can't candy coat any of that. Another thing, and this is another common one. I only got a couple here. We're commanded that henceforth, in Romans 6:6, henceforth, we should not serve sin. I bet you there's been 7 people that have walked out of Bible study classes when I teach that lesson. As soon as I tell them what henceforth means. Henceforth doesn't mean you can do it tomorrow. Henceforth doesn't mean we can do it after our walk with God has improved. You know, I'm still on milk. I haven't got enough meat in me yet, so I don't have the strength to use henceforth. No. The word henceforth in Romans 6:6 means now. If you realize that you're in sin for something, correct it with God henceforth. Don't let it go. You can't candy coat henceforth in serving sin. You can't do it. I had a talk with a couple of people, several people actually. They've been Christians for quite a while. One of them was. And they say, well, you know, I'm walking with the Lord. I'm having a great time with him. And my life's okay. We have a good relationship. And then I would talk to them about something that was going on, that's been going on for a while in their heart. Something I knew about. I said, how are you doing with that? Well, I still haven't got a handle on that yet. That's okay. So let me ask you a question. What do we do with that verse in your Bible that says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me? So how good of a conversation are you having with him if you have that and we haven't dumped it yet? You see, that you can't candy coat You can't candy coat the Bible. If somebody is walking with the Lord in their mind and has a relationship with the Lord in their mind, and yet they still have sin in their heart, they're having a relationship with themselves. Because the scripture says, without candy coating it, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear. So he's not hearing. He's not there. He knows what you're doing, but he's not going to respond to you because you don't have a clear heart. And so what stops people? And I've asked them that. So what stops you from doing that, from getting right with God? And reasons vary. But the bottom line is, you have to get right with God with everything, not just with some things. Because if you don't do that, what ends up happening is you're candy coating scripture, you're candy coating your relationship with God, and sooner or later, the candy coating will come off and you will taste wormwood, bitterness. You'll taste it. Henceforth, we should not serve sin right now. How about forgiving and forgetting? We're commanded to forgive and forget. Forgiving, Colossians 3:3, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgive you, so you also must do. That's a command. Jesus said, Paul said, you must forgive. In another place, Jesus said, if you don't forgive your brother, God isn't going to forgive you. Simple. And then forgetting the past is Luke 9:62. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. You can't look back at your past. When you forgive somebody, I just recently had a situation happen in my life where I put somebody behind my back. They had offended me in a very big way. Actually, they hurt my feelings more than anything. And I forgave them. And I told it to their face. But I found myself thinking about this person and about what they had done. And I realized that's not forgiving. That is not, when you don't forget, you don't forgive. Because when you don't forget, that means there's still a tinge of vengeance in your heart. That means you haven't given it all to God. You haven't really given all the forgiveness that you have to him. Now imagine if Christ did that to me. That's what I thought. Gee, what if the Lord just forgave, 99% of my sins and just left one? I'd still go to hell just for one sin. I can't do this. And so I contacted that person and I told him, I said, you know what? I forgave you 99% of the time, but there's 1% I didn't. And I'm telling you now, I'm forgiving you now. And I'd like you to forgive me for not giving my forgiveness, asking you to forgive me the whole thing before. They said, sure. And I did. And from that day forward, that situation never came up in my mind again, ever. And the reason is because you can't candy coat forgiveness. It's something you do or you don't do. And the only way you know if you did do it is if you don't bring it up again in your mind. And Jesus said, if you don't forget the past, then you're not worthy to carry my yoke. You're not. And he's right. And the reason is because you're candy coat, and we candy coat everything, don't we? Another word for candy coating might be that we convince ourselves of things that, we know might even be bad for us, but we say, well, you know what? We can work this out. That's candy coating. And when you do that with scripture, you're in real big trouble, because when you do it in life, it might cost you some money, it might cost you some time, but if you candy coat scripture, it could cost you an eternity. And some of the excuses about forgiving and forgetting is, well, I'm working on it. I like that. I'm working on it. Or forgiving and forgetting, it takes time. This is a serious offense. It takes time to just forget about it. You know what all that means? I'm not done with my vengeance yet. I still want to be vengeful. The command is straight away to forgive and to forget. And there's no wiggle room in there for candy coating any of it. And there's no profiting when God's absolute truth is candy-coated. It's that simple. You can't do that. It's also important to note that believers sometimes candy-coat scriptural advice they give to each other. In here, I've seen people candy-coat it. When we tell an erring brother or sister, for example, it takes time to get over the fear, guilt, or anger that they're holding on to. When we do that, we're candy coating scripture. That's not what you're supposed to do. Get over it now. It doesn't take time. The only thing that makes it take time is that your willingness not to obey God, not to submit to God. Because God's absolute truth is this, Romans 6:6. Knowing this, and this is for believers, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Now, you can't candy coat that and expect a profit. If you have a brother or sister that you're trying to help out, you know that they're in a fault, as the Bible says in Galatians 6:1, then you need to not candy coat it. You need to call it out as it is. I tell people this all the time. You need to tell it as it is. Don't dress it up. And as a matter of fact, it's even better if you don't even say it, if you have a Bible handy and you point it out and let them read it. It seems that the sword is even sharper when you do that. It helps them. We should tell them about the absolute truth, people that do that, of 1 John 3:9. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born again. Listen, you can't continue to sin day after day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. You cannot keep that stuff inside of you. You can't do it. This verse in 1 John is saying no one born of God makes a practice of sinning. And he tells you why in the next part of the verse. For God's seed abides in him. The Holy Spirit is in there rampant and rampant. Chastisement will come in. He cannot keep on sinning because he is born of God. So it doesn't matter what the situation or the sin is. It doesn't matter. All advice that you give a brother or sister should be given just as it comes out of Scripture. And none of it, you shouldn't dress up any of it with a candy coating. In closing, let me leave you with a few examples of how God, our God, speaks to people. Of course, everything he said was scripture, and not one jot or tittle was candy-coated. Listen to Isaiah 30, verse 8. This is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord. How about Romans 3, 13 and 18? Their throat is an open tomb, with their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps are under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. What sugarcoating do you find on those verses? You see any candy coating on any one of them, on any word? Of course not. And if God talks, if God doesn't candy coat his words, neither should you candy coat them as well. The fact is, God's absolute truth is going to be offensive to the sinful mind, and it must be offensive to convict the sinner of their sins. In John 8:31, and I'll leave you with this, Jesus declared, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." If we live in God's word, you and I, brother and sisters, without candy coating it for ourselves or for others, our lives will be profitable, and that will glorify God. If you candy coat scripture, you're not going to be profitable to yourself, you're not going to help anybody else, and God is not glorified. If you're lost, you're living in a candy world. Nothing is really profitable for you. Everything is temporary. If you want to know how you can be profitable in this world, in the world to come, you call me. or email me, and I'll show you in God's Word how He wants you to be profitable by using His Word and conforming your life to it. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your Word, and God, forgive us, Lord, those of us that have candy-coated Your Word in the past, and Lord, we give you the glory for just making it so clear in our minds that even as we read Scripture, every single time an angel has to be confrontational. He doesn't candy-coat anything. He simply quotes your Word. Lord, give us the wisdom to do that in our lives and help us to help our brothers and sisters by not candy-coating anything, but by giving Your Word just as You wrote it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn.